Another good hand praise. And you may take your seat. Praise the Lord. Like I said earlier, we've been fasting for 21 days. And how many feel good? I said, how many feel good? We feel good. We feel great. And the church feels good. The church feels like it is, it just feels alive. If you were here for our all-night prayer, my God, that was amazing, right? And not only that, but our Wednesdays have been powerful. We've been coming and seeking the Lord, and the Lord's been showing up, right, church? And I pray that the Lord continues to show up throughout the rest of this year. And, you know, we started off this month, I believe, with the theme of seeking God first. And when we seek God first, the Bible says that He's going to add these things unto you. And I believe that we have put God first this year. Amen. And there's a lot of things that we want added to our lives. Can I get a yeet yeet? I don't know where that came from, but you're welcome. We want a lot of things within our lives. I believe that many of us, we're looking forward to this year, 2020, with a brand new vision, brand new set of eyes spiritually, and we're believing for greater things to come this year. You're believing for greater things for your family. You're believing for greater things in your spiritual walk. You're believing for greater things within your finances. Come on, somebody. And so because we're believing for greater things this year in 2020, we decided, and within prayer, the Lord had dropped it within my heart that this is going to be a year of development. And we want to really, really develop our people this year. And we don't want just spiritual malnutrition Christians. But we want spiritual warriors in the house of the Lord. And in order to develop a warrior, it's going to take development. It's going to take some practice. It's going to take some training. And so for Sunday nights, we're going to actually be doing those trainings starting the 9th of February. And we'll be doing those trainings, and it's called Christian Living. And so we have these things planned out. And I believe that this year is going to be a year of growth for our lives. Can somebody say praise the Lord? Last week, we were speaking about the sound that is coming out of our church. And I pushed through that sickness. I was sick as a dog, but I came and I pushed through. And I believe that that word was a timely word for our church, that the sound needs to come out of our church. And I believe that that sound is going out. Even there at the retreat, again, I hear reports of the sound that is coming out of our church. Can you give Jesus some praise for that? So along with the sound, I believe that right now within our lives, we could really look at some things that we want to implement here now within our church and within you know, our own lives personally. And there's one thing that I wanted within the church. When I first started this church, even before I even got here, I always said I wanted a worshiping church, wanted a church that knew how to worship. And so today I'm going to give you the meat of this, because I don't have a lot of time. But I'll give you the meat of it. If you want to stay for the rest, you can for our second service. But I have to give you at least the bulk of this, okay? You guys are mature enough. You guys are eating steak today, okay? John chapter 4, and we're going to read there. John chapter 4, and I wanted to, you know, I've been wanting to preach on John chapter 4 for the last 6 months. Just couldn't find the time to do it. And I believe that right now is a perfect time to preach out of John chapter 4. So I want you to turn to John chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. When you have it, say, have it. We're going to read 7, then verse 9, and then through 19, okay? The Bible says this: the woman said, a woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. Verse 9, the Bible says, the Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask me for a drink, a woman of Samaria? For the Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you only knew the gift of God and who it is that is asking you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? You are you greater than your father Jacob, He gave us this well and drank from it himself, and did his sons and his sons and his livestock. Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again." Tell your neighbor, "Are you thirsty?" "But whoever drinks the water that I give him will never thirst again. The water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will never thirst or have to come draw water again." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." Somebody say, "It's getting real now." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You're right. You have no husband. And what you said is true." So in other words, Jesus is now all up in her business, all her in the Kool-Aid, right? And he tells her, "As a matter of fact, you have five men that you're messing around with," right? And then she says, the woman said to her, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet, that you are a prophet." Here today, I want to use this scripture, or a portion of these scriptures, to really talk about what I got to get into here today. And I believe that here this morning, you know, there's a lot. I believe that this chapter has so much in it that I can preach off this chapter for literally a whole month. I could literally just sit there and preach off this chapter for a whole month. First thing I noticed there, that she was a Samaritan woman. Now, you might say, what is significant about that? Well, if you know anything about history of the Samaritans, Samaritans actually were Jews before. And there were Jews that actually moved into the northern part or the north side of Jerusalem, and they lived there. So what happened was the Syrians came in and they overtook those Jews. And when they overtook those Jews, what happened is they forsook the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So they forsook their God, and I don't want nothing to do with them. And they started going into marriage with the Syrians. So actually those people that were not of God's people. And they started marrying pagan people. And they started worshiping pagan gods. And this is where the Jews did not like that at all. In other words, they were outcasted because they walked away from the truth. They were actually Jews at one time. And so you could see what's happening there. So the woman goes to draw water, and the dealings with the Jews and the Samaritans, they weren't really those type of conversations. And Jesus comes, and he doesn't look at her as a Samaritan woman, but he looks at her like a soul. And when he begins to talk to her, she begins to ask him, "Why are you even talking to me right now? What is it that you want with me, and why are you even talking to me?" Kind of reminds me of Psalms chapter 8, verse 4, when David says, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him?" In Psalms chapter 8, the Bible describes God as someone that's an artist. In other words, he painted everything with his fingertips. And if that's the type of God that we serve, a God that is a creator, a God that has formed everything, who is God that, or who are we that God could even talk to us or even be mindful of us? Come on, somebody. We feel insignificant at times. We don't feel worthy at times. We don't feel like we don't got it all together at times. We feel like we slept with pagan gods before. We felt like we blew it. We felt like we ain't worthy, right? So what's happening here is that their conversation is being dealt with, just like David was there saying, "Who is man that you are even mindful of us?" I'm here to tell you that God is mindful of you regardless of what you've been through and regardless of what you're facing here today, that he's mindful of you. But I believe that he's mindful of us because I believe that he has something more for our lives. I believe that here this morning that he wants something more out of us. Now, did Jesus really want water? I don't think he just wanted water. Jesus didn't just want water. What Jesus really wanted on the second part of this sermon is that what Jesus really wanted is he wanted her worship. He wanted her worship. When you look at John chapter 4, verse 20, the Bible says our fathers worshiped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is a place where people ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me that the hour is coming that neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. For salvation is from the Jews, but the hour is coming and now is here. Then true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. Come on, somebody. When you read this, what's happening is that now Jesus is literally, He starts moving, and He starts getting into what the real deal is. She says, we worship here, you worship there. We worship this, you worship that. But He's saying the time is coming that we're going to not even worship that, but we're going to worship the true and living God. He said the hour is coming. The time is here. It's not a question of will we worship, because I believe that a lot of people worship a lot of different things. A lot of people worship football teams. A lot of people worship pagan stuff even to now. People have beautiful cars, they worship that. People have beautiful families, they worship that. People have a lot of material things, they worship that. People idle their jobs and they worship that. It's not a matter of will we worship, it's who will we worship. A lot of us worship a lot of different things, but it's who are you going to worship this morning? To worship, really what that means is giving worth to something that is higher than itself. In other words, when you worship the Lord, it's putting Him higher than anything else. So when we come into the house of the Lord and I begin to tell you, come on, let's worship the Lord, what I'm trying to make you understand that when you worship God, it's higher than putting yourself on that circumstance or on those issues and saying, man, but I'm going through this and I'm going through that. Yeah, but when you worship, you allow God to be higher than everything else that you're facing here this morning. So this is when we come to worship, we come to exalt Him, we come to bless Him, we come to lift Him up, regardless if we're tired, regardless if we're going through it, regardless if you're in a storm, you're setting God higher than those things. And when God is higher than those things, you have a different perspective on things. How many know you have a different perspective? A lot of you have a different perspective than me because I'm lower to the ground. I don't see everything y'all see. I don't see everybody's bald spots, but you guys do. You're like, ooh, homie should just trim that thing down, right? It looks different from up there, right? It looks different. My view is down here. I'm at eye view. All I see is eye view. But some of you, like Annalisa, could look at through the whole room and scout the whole room. Jordan could scout the whole room, right? They can look at the, I can see way back there, right? I'm like, where? Right? But what happens is that when you exalt God higher, your view starts changing. Your view starts changing. So when you get higher in your view, you begin to see, God, I am above these things. But the enemy loves to get you on the low part. He loves to keep you down low. He loves to keep your worship down low. He loves to keep you there where you're just going through. You know, you ever notice when people go through it, they're always like this? Right? They're just always down. They're casted down, right? Even David said when he was going through, why are you downcasted? But when you exalt God, there's a different view that comes out of you. Can somebody give the Lord praise for that? So I believe here today that God is looking for people to worship Him in spirit. You see what that says? It says, but the time is coming, the hour is coming, where true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit. Somebody say, in spirit. In spirit. In spirit. Worship Him in spirit. Could it be that some people come to worship Him in flesh and call it worship? Oh, we in there. Because a lot of people come, they like the music. They love it. They love this church. We got lights. We're like, doom, doom. Now we got videos like, right? You're doing it. You loved it. People come in here because they love the atmosphere. But do they come to worship in spirit or they come to worship in flesh? How do you worship in flesh, Pastor? Well, I'll tell you how. Because we worship with our hands, right? We lift our hands and we love it. We start dancing. We love it. We're feeling it. We're like, yes, God is moving. Oh, my God, this is exciting. Right? I watch you guys every service. I go, oh, the cry's about to come. I knew it. Right? But what's happening is when you think about the Word of God, and the Word of God says, you worship me with your mouths, but your hearts are far from me. Oh. See, a lot of us come to worship with our hands. We come to worship with our feet. We come to worship with our bodies, but our hearts are far from him. He says, how is that mix? How does that mix up? Well, because what happens is that when you don't come ready to pour your heart out, all you come is ready to jump and shout and lift your hands. That's just fleshly stuff. But when you come to pour your heart out, when your heart is close to the Lord and you could worship him like that, my God, God starts moving in your life. You start looking at things a little bit different. And I believe that their time is coming where people need to come and encounter God like that. In Jeremiah 29, verse 13, it says, if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. A lot of times we come and we celebrate, we jump and we shout, but you leave empty still. You still leave empty. We provided an atmosphere for you to experience God, but the atmosphere can only do so much because you can't leave with that type of atmosphere. In other words, you can't take the worship team, put it in your pocket, and say, come on, we're going home with me. No. You can't put them on the, in your living room and say, okay, play, because I need the atmosphere of God. No, what God is looking for is your heart. What God is looking for is the church's heart. To say, God, I don't just want to worship you with my emotions. God, I want my heart to seek you with everything I got. Because when I seek you with everything I got, I'm going to find exactly what I need. And I need the presence of God wherever I go. You don't go in the supermarket just shouting, hallelujah, I feel God right now. You don't do that. But how are you filled when you go to work? How are you filled when you go to those certain places? You're filled because you're seeking God wholeheartedly. Everything inside of you says, God, I want to please you. Everything inside of you says, God, I want to pour my worship out before you. Even in this workplace, I'm going to pour my worship out before you. When you start living that way, God starts doing something special in your life. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, it says this, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. They shall be satisfied. You know what that's saying? That's saying those that are hungry, those that are thirsty, when you seek God, you're going to be satisfied. A lot of us are not satisfied here today because we've been filling ourselves with everything else but God. You're going to be satisfied when you hunger and thirst for God. You know, this 21-day fast, I was satisfied with God. I didn't need a meal. I didn't need that coffee. Well, I needed the coffee, but I didn't want the coffee. I didn't want that stuff. I was satisfied with going into my room and praying. I was satisfied with opening the Bible and letting God speak to me. I was satisfied with those things. When you're seeking God, he's going to satisfy you. I believe that we need a heart after God that says, God, I want to seek you. I want to hunger you. God, I want more of you within my life. I believe that that's what the Lord is asking us to do here today. He wants your heart. He doesn't just want your hands. He doesn't just want your feet. He doesn't just want you moving around. He doesn't just want you your hype. He wants your heart. He wants your heart. He wants your heart to be open before him. He wants your spirit to be open to say, God, whatever you want to do, do it inside of me. And this is what's happening in this story. In this story, what's happening is God wants her heart. God is looking for her heart. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says this, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, when I look at what's happening here, how do we present ourselves to the Lord, or what type of worship should we bring? It's all found in this scripture, and I want to just show you three quick things. I know this is a short sermon. It's like a devotion for some of you. Like, Pastor, where is it? Just stay with me. I believe God's going to meet you, okay? In Romans 12, verse 1, the Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know, we always go into living sacrifice, but the Bible has a couple words right before living sacrifice, and that word is present. Present, right? When you think about that word present, I'm like dyslexic, so I the first time I read it present. Right, Joe? I like presents. I like gift cards. I'm a size 32 now. Not just kidding. Everybody's like, dang, Pastor, you skinny. Join the fast with me. No. I read presents, right? And I was like, present. Oh, no. Presents. Oh, present. Present. Present, right? And I was thinking about that. Because whenever someone has a present, what do? They bring it to you. And people come to me and say, Pastor, I got you something. I'm like, yes. Oh, what I always wanted. Yes, thank you. Right? Somebody, the last present I got, what was it? A Star Wars cup. That was pretty dope. And I was like, yes, I have it there. And I love that stuff. But it requires something. It requires the person to actually bring you the present. Right? And when it comes to worship, the Bible says that there, he says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. So what he's saying is that when you come into the house of God, are you really present when you come? Because sometimes we come into the house of God and we're thinking about stuff. So I have to come up here and stir everybody up. Come on. There's no afflictions too great for God. God's going to do, come on, whatever trouble you're going through. What am I trying to do? I'm trying to get you present. Because once you're present, God can move. But a lot of times we come with so much junk that we're not present because we're still in the junk. But when we come into the house of God and we come into God's house, you should let the junk outside and say, no, I'm going to go and present myself to God as a living sacrifice. When you begin to do that, what happens is God begins to move within your life. A lot of times we're not present. Oh, y'all is fake today. Y'all are still not present. We come to church and we're not present. We're not showing up. Our minds are not here. You're thinking about everything else but God. Everything but God. So when we come to church, come with the mindset, I'm going to be there because I need God to move. I'm not going there to show face. I'm not going there because I'm a leader. I'm not going there for any of that stuff. I'm going there because I need God to move in my life. So he says, present yourself to God as a living sacrifice. I love that part. Because when you think about sacrifices, sacrifices is something that they used to put on the altar and they used to kill it. That was a sacrifice. But he says, present yourself as a living sacrifice. Ooh, come on, somebody. I'm trying to teach you a little bit so I can help you on your journey. I'm trying to develop some people here today. He says, a living sacrifice. A sacrifice that is ongoing. A sacrifice that every day you wake up, you're sacrificing. You're sacrificing some of your sleep to get into his presence. You're sacrificing a little bit of your time to get in his word. You're sacrificing a little bit of things because you want God more and more and more. Present yourself a living sacrifice. When you present yourself as a living sacrifice, God is honored by that. God sees it. God sees the sacrifice that you are making here today. Some of you are living sacrifices here this morning, but you got to keep presenting yourself unto God as a living sacrifice. He says, present yourself as your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy. Somebody say, holy moly. He says, holy. What is holy? Holy is pleasing to God. When you come into his presence as a living sacrifice, and then you're holy, come on, somebody. See, churches don't like to talk about holiness because then half the sinners leave. But if we ain't talking about holiness in the church, then we ain't really the church. God wants a holy church. Somebody say holy. He wants a holy church. So what he wants us to be holy before him. How do you get holy before him? Ask him for forgiveness. Be real with him. Say, I don't got it all together, God. I need you in my life. And by your grace and by your spirit, I'm able to be cleansed. This is what we need. We need to find ourselves doing those things. Because if not, we're going to find ourselves worshiping other things. We're going to worship other things. I'm here to tell you, be careful what you're worshiping here today. In Jeremiah 2, verse 5, this is a powerful scripture. Jeremiah 2, verse 5, the Bible says this. Thus says the Lord, what is wrong? Do your fathers find in me that they went far from me and they went out after worthlessness and became worthless? I love that scripture because Jeremiah is writing here and he's saying people left God's presence, left God, and they went to chase worthless things. And they went to go chase these worthless things. And as they went to go chase these worthless things, the Bible says that they became worthless. Whatever you chase, you're going to be just like. If you chase lust, you're going to be lustful. If you keep thinking those negative thoughts, you're going to be negative. If you keep going there with your worship and saying, this is what I worship, this is what I entertain, this is the thing that's above everything else, then what happens eventually is going to get into your DNA. But what if we had a people in this house that were to say, you know what? If they chase worthlessness and became worthless, what if I chase God? What would I be like? What would I be like if I really gave myself over to prayer? What would I really be like if I gave myself over to fasting? What would I really be like if I gave myself all over to God? My friend, there's something that God will do within your life. You know that in God, there's no limits. That in God, there's no fear. That in God, you can overcome. That in God, there is no insecurities. In God, there's none of these things. So when you worship God and you chase God with everything you have, guess what goes inside of you? Everything that God is goes inside of your life. Everything He is goes in you. I live a life of faith because I pray for faith and I say, God, give me faith. God, let me trust whatever you say, God, I'm going to do it. Why? Because I keep speaking. I keep chasing after him. And all of a sudden, whatever he is, it starts getting inside of me. See, I think sometimes we're thirsting for so many things, and we're becoming those things now. Some of you are becoming those things now. You didn't want to, but the more you drink it, the more you have flavor for it. The more your taste buds change. You know that I stopped drinking soda probably about maybe 5 years ago. Yeah, about 5 years ago. I started with soda. I loved soda at the time. Then I went to diet soda. And then I started drinking diet soda thinking that's better, right? And then I completely took soda out the pitcher. Now, I'm not saying I don't drink it. But every so often, I think last year I probably drank maybe 4 or 5 sodas. The whole time. But there's something that happens when you stop drinking something for a while. It tastes different. Like, I haven't ate McDonald's and I don't know. I don't know. Like, I haven't ate McDonald's for a long time. Think about 2 years ago. That was the last time I ate. 2 years ago, I took a bite of a cheeseburger with Mac sauce on it. That's the ghetto Big Mac. Took a bite of it. But you know, when I took a bite of that thing, the meat tastes so... I was like, what is this? The meat tastes different. And I was like, ooh. And when I tasted it, I could taste the difference. Because I was used to tasting that Costco meat. Come on. That Costco burger ain't nothing got no, like Costco burger. That Angus beef. I think I'm gonna break my fast. That Angus beef, right? When you have the good stuff and you go back to tasting that dollar stuff, it tastes different. But Jesus was saying, if you keep drinking this water, you're going to come back to the same water because you're going to be thirsty and thirsty and thirsty, never satisfied, always thirsty, always searching, always looking, always thirsty. Come on, somebody. But he said, but if you only knew who was standing right before you asking you for a drink, you would have asked him. And if you would have asked him, there was something that I would have gave you. I would have gave you living water. What he was saying is that Jacob's well is a stagnated water. Living water at that time was a river. When they saw rivers, it was living. In other words, there was a flow. And this is why she said, where would you get this water? I don't see rivers around here. He said, I am the river. If you jumped into my river, you would get the living water. A lot of us, we're looking around for rivers. We're looking around for life. We're looking around for the flow. I'm here to tell you, stop searching because it's right in front of your life. The flow, the river is right in front of you. He says, man, he goes, once you drink of this, you'll never thirst again. Why? Because inside of you will be not a cup of water. Inside of you won't be a jug of water, but inside of you will be a well of living water. I don't know about you, but I need living water to flow out of my life. When the devil comes messing with me, I need the water to boil up inside of me and say, I got wells inside of me that are living. When the enemy comes and lies and says, you're not good enough, you start drawing from inside of you and says, I got a well inside of me that says I am more than an overcomer. Some of us, we need to draw from that well. He says, out of you will burst out springs of living water. I think out of this church, we need some people to have encounters with Jesus like this. Jesus wants your heart. Why? Because he wants to fill it with a well of living water, not stagnated water, not dead water, but water that comes out of you. What's that type of water? That's life-giving water. People need the water that comes from Mesa. People need the water that comes from this church. They need to experience the power of God like we are experiencing here today. We need living water. We're living water. People are going to different wells looking for the answer. We have the answer here this morning, and it's found in Christ Jesus. It's time to give him our worship. It's time to give him our heart and say, God, here I am. I'm ready to give you everything that I am because I want that living water in my life. And if that's you here today, if that's you, I did my best with the time I had to deliver this word, but if that's you, I pray that today that we feel moved and we feel like, God, I want living water in me. I'm tired of looking for different things to satisfy me. Some of us even been saved for a long time and you're not there yet. And I think it's because God's calling you to a deeper level. God's calling you to a deeper well. God's saying, okay, you're done with that well now. It's time to come all in for me. It's time to get deeper with me. You know, this whole 21-day fast was to go deeper with God. It was to go into his presence and say, God, just do whatever you want to do this year. And I believe that many of you have got that. But I also believe that many of us still need that other portion of God. Say, God, I want more. I want more. And if that's you here today, I want to open up this altar. I want to pray for you here today. If you say, God, I want to give you my heart. I want to give you my worship. I want to give you everything that I am. Come to this altar here today.